Tonight's share is dedicated to Refuah Shalema, Yehuda Aryeh Rafael Ben Yetta, as well as Chaim Yeshua Ben Hendel, Besaych Sha'ar Chayil Yisrael. Okay, this evening we're going to be continuing on our conversation discussing the importance of having separate sets of dishes for fleishiks and milchiks, and maybe even pariv. Again, we have to remember we live in a very blessed time in Jewish history where Baruch Hashem there's a lot of money. And we have a lot of availabilities to have more than one pot and more than one dish. But there was a time in Jewish history where Jews were not as wealthy. There wasn't really plastic throwaway dishes. So people were somewhat limited to the amounts of dishes that they can own and they can use. But keep in mind that today we do live in a time where having two sets of dishes is almost a given. And it goes without even thinking twice about it. Every young couple gets married, they get four sets of dishes. But we're going to discuss a little bit from a halachic standpoint, the role of the different dishes. And B'linei Neder, if there's time tonight, we'll at least start to discuss the possible halachic complications of having only one oven. As many people today are not lucky enough to have two ovens, we will discuss some of the halachic significance of that as well. So let's just go back a little bit to what we were discussing last week. We left off last week in a Ramon Shulchan Aruch, where the Ramon, in the end of Siman Pei Tes, was discussing a knife, again, knife specifically, with regard to a knife used for meat and a knife used for cheese. So the Ramon writes at the end, he says, Aval kvar nogu kol Yisrael liyos lehem shnei sakinim. The minhag in Klal Yisrael is to have two knives. And to mark on one of them, shielei heker, that it should be recognizable which is the milchika knife and which is the fleishika knife. V'nogu lirshom shel cholov. And the minhag was that we mark the milchika knife. V'ein l'shanes minhag Yisrael, you shouldn't change the minhag Yisrael. So the Ramah seems to be telling us that if you have, you should have two separate knives. One knife for cutting milchiks and one knife for cutting fleishiks. Now, when we talk about the knife, we're not talking about bleias. We're not worried about absorptions. Because we're talking over here when you're cutting cold. But because meat and cheese are things that leave a residue, our concern over here is not the bleias, it's not the absorption. Our concern over here is the mamoshes, the leftover cheese that could be lingering on the knife, and the leftover meat that could be lingering on the meat knife as well. Now, we mentioned last time, and I just want to see it inside this week, an important machleik is taz and shach. Again, when you read the Ramah, the impression you get from the Ramah is that you have to have two knives, even if you want to cut bread. Let's say, for example, we spoke about this last week. Let's say you want to cut a bagel. Now, the pashtus would be is if I want to cut a bagel, what knife do I need to use to cut that bagel? Because again, what am I going to put on the bagel? I'm going to presumably put cream cheese on the bagel. So the simple reading of the Ramah would sound like that you shouldn't use a meat knife to cut a bagel that you're going to put cream cheese on. Or a bagel that you're going to put cheese on. But the Taz learned the Ramah differently. The Taz writes, number two, Nira Kavanose. The Lefi HaMinag Osir Lachter Gvina B'Sachin Shel Basar. The Minag is that you're not allowed to cut meat, cheese, with the same knife that you cut meat. I feel like they need to eat even if you do need to eat Zok the Taz, you know what the Chumrah of the Ramah is to have two separate knives? That's if you don't want to rely on the eats. We mentioned last week that strictly speaking, if you have a fleishik knife that you want to use to cut cheese, you can taka do ni'itza, whatever ni'itza is, and then you can use it. Zok the Ramah, no. The Chumrah is that we don't do ni'itza, but we have two separate knives. Two separate knives for what, says the Taz? Two separate knives for cutting cheese and cutting meat. But if I want to just cut bread, says the Taz, for cutting bread, you don't need a separate knife. So the Taz learned the Ramah that you only need two separate knives if you want to cut meat and cheese. But if I want to cut bread, then I can just clean the knife. So according to the Taz's understanding of the Ramah, let's say, for example, I want to cut a bagel open to eat with cheese, I can clean off the fleishiga knife, take the fleishiga knife, clean it off, and good to go. I thought the Ramah is supposed to have two knives. Yeah, that's two knives for cutting actual basar and chalav. But if I'm just cutting bread, then according to the Taz, they don't have to have a separate knife. Now, the Shach disagreed. We mentioned this last week. The Shach says, no, you're supposed to have a separate knife or do ni'itza, even just to cut the bread. Now, how do we paskin? A very big nafkamina. How do we paskin? According to the Taz, if I want to cut open a bagel to eat with cream cheese or cheese, all I need to do is clean the knife if it's a fleishig knife. While according to the Shach, I really should have a separate knife. Now again, according to the Taz, even the minhag to have separate knives does not apply that you should have to have a separate knife for cutting bread. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, in number 3 in the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Dover Pashutu She'asa Lachtach Gvina Afilu Tzeinenes Besakin Shogim Lachtach Babasim. It goes without saying, you're not allowed to cut cheese with a fleshig knife, even if it's all cold. Even bread that you want to eat with cheese, you can't cut with a fleshig knife. Why? Because sometimes the meat, the residue, the fat of the meat gets stuck onto the knife and you really can't clean it. What's our chashash over here? Our chashash is not bleus. We're not worried about the knife absorbed heat and the fleishik is going to come out in the bagel. No, everything's cold. We're worried about actual fleishik remnants that's going to find its way onto the piece of bagel. Ulechein, zokta Aruch HaShulchan, im mekanech hasakin heitev mutter. So you see that the Aruch HaShulchan taka paskin like the Taz. The Chochmas Adam paskins like the Taz. The Sefer Nitzchei Yisrael from the Chavetz Chaim paskins like the Taz. So again, halach l'maisa, I want to go tonight and cut a bagel open and put cream cheese on the bagel. What knife should I use? So obviously we're very wealthy, lucky people. We all have milchige knives. So obviously cutting with a milchige knife is the best. But let's say I only have a fleshige knife. So according to the Taz, if I just clean the knife, I'm good to go. And not only that, according to the Taz, I don't have to have a separate knife for cutting bread. Mashenkin, according to the Shach, you do in the... I think the accepted practice is to taka have, even according to us, like the Shach, it's better not to cut a bagel open to put cheese on it with a fleishik knife. It's better to use either a milchika knife, or as we'll see in a second, to have a separate knife for just cutting bread. But again, according to the Taz, v'yeshami lismoich, you don't even need a separate knife. You can use a actual fleishik knife that was cleaned. So let's say, for example, you find yourself in a situation where you don't have so many knives. So according to the Taz, as long as you cleaned off the fleishik knife, you can cut the bagel. Again, you can't cut the cheese with it, but you can cut the bagel to put the cheese on. Then the Aruch HaShulchan writes in number 4, V'yesh mehamedach tekim sheyesh lem gimel sakinim. Then there's a chumra to have 3 knives. Echot shel baser, one used for meat. V'echot shel chol, v'echot shel choyt chembol lechem. And you have a separate bread knife. In my house, I have a separate bread knife. We cut bread. It doesn't touch milk, it just touches bread. You don't use it not for basar, not for chalav. Rak lachteich lechem. It's just used solely for the cutting of bread. Very, very nice minhag brought down by quite a few. Then the Aruch HaShulchan continues, v'noigim the minhag is k'dei shalei lachlif, in order so you shouldn't confuse the different dishes. Reishmin k'may charitzin. You make some form of a note. You make a reishim as an indenting. You make some form of a recognition on the knives. V'simana charitzei chalav in the shalais. Okay, om the misha in rak sak and achel. If you only have one knife, yochalachtoich lechem l'shnayim. You could technically use bread can be cut by both. V'raki yizor l'kaneh hasak and yofi yof. Again, so the Aruch HaShulchan the shitasa. Again, the minhag is we try to have separate knives. But says the Aruch HaShulchan, if push comes to shove, if you don't have a separate knife, you only have one knife, so you can technically cut bread with a fleishik knife, as long as it's clean. That's because the Shach, the Aruch HaShulchan goes like the Taz and not like the Shach.
Okay, why are we focusing on bread when there are so many other parable things, like fruits?
Because again, back then, the only other thing that you would have eaten with either gvina or basar is bread. That was just the most common example. But in Echanami, if you're going to want to cut something else that's going to come in direct contact, it would be the same thing. In Echanami, pashtus. Now, then the Aruch HaShulchan says something also interesting, which we need to talk more about tonight. He writes, V'ka'orois k'tanois ugdoilois shebebayis shal basar levad v'shachol levad yasu mishnei minim. We keep on talking about knives. What about forks and spoons? Do you have to have 2 sets of forks and spoons? So says Aruch HaShulchan, yes. It's good to have separate forks and spoons, one for dairy, one for meat. And levad yasu mishnei minim lahakir, they should be from 2 different types. Lahakir to recognize shalei yischalif. So, meaning you shouldn't have the exact same fork for milchiks and for fleishiks. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan says you're supposed to have separate forks for milchiks and fleishiks, and they should be distinct. Obviously, because if not, you're going to confuse the 2 of them if they're not going to be distinct. So you should have 2 distinct style of kalim for milchiks and fleishiks. V'chein b'kapois, umezlogois, so for the spoons, the cups and everything, v'chein kol ha-kelim, all kelim should be separate, milchiks and fleishiks. Now, again, if you go to any Jewish home, you're going to find, obviously we have, almost all of us have 2 sets of dishes, forks and knives and spoons for milchiks and for fleishiks. Now, how do we mark the 2 ones? So again, the Ramah told us when it comes to marking, you're supposed to mark the knife, the milchika knife. What about when it comes to marking dishes? So over here, I found this sefer called Kisrei Eliezer, written by I forgot his name now. It says he was a magid shir in Torah V'das. I forgot his name already. So he writes like this. He says, "Ube'emes kena minug hayoyim lasis kol kelim shechil bi misug acher v'chen kelim shal b'sweet." We like them to be different patterns. Today you go out to pick silverware, so you buy one pattern that's for milchiks and a totally different type of pattern for fleishiks. But let's say, for example, I don't know why anyone would do this, but you'd buy the exact same pattern for milchiks and fleishiks, and then osacharitz, that you have to make some form of a hole, some form of a marker on the milchik ones. The cuts of Abad HaShulchan, he quotes Abad HaShulchan. Again, I apologize. I don't quote Abad HaShulchan because I don't have him on my Yitzhar Chachma. I don't want anyone to think I'm not quoting him Beshita. He's a fantastic sefer. Anyone learns Basim Chal of Taruvis, you got to learn with Abad HaShulchan. Again, as I mentioned in the other share, I'm not saying we follow every one of his psukim because he's a little bit more machmir, but it's a classical sefer. The only reason why I don't have it on the Ma'amar Mekayim sheets is because he's not on my Yitzhar Chachma. Why is he not? I don't know. But in any case, he quotes the Badei Shulchan who says the Oid Eitzel Zed Yichayim Liknei Sakinim Shainim. He's supposed to buy different patterns. So that's what most of us do today. We don't have markers on our milchik spoons and knives. That's because it's a different pattern. It's a clear, distinct pattern. The fleishiks looks one way, the milchiks looks the other way, and that's good enough to make it that it's different. And therefore, that's why we have two separate sets of dishes. So again, Meikar Adin, you don't need to have two separate sets. You don't really need two separate. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch you have to have two separate dishes. It just says you have to have two separate sets of knives. But Aruch HaShulchan and others, they bring a minhag that you're supposed to have two separate sets of dishes for all the dishes that you have in your house. Okay. So now I want to talk about an interesting shiloh. The shiloh is, let's say, for example, your person in Nebuch doesn't have a lot of money, and he's not going to buy two separate sets of dishes. So let's work this out in our mind. The guy's going to have, mamish, one fork, one spoon, one bowl, one cup, one plate. Everything's one. And he wants to use it for both milchiks and fleishiks. So we're going to have problems on our hand. First of all, you're going to have to worry about mamashes. You're going to have to clean it out to make sure there's no substance. If not, you're going to be eating basa b'chala. But let's say you clean it out. But you have blias problems. Why? Sunday morning, I had a hot cheese omelet on that plate. And then Sunday night, I'm going to want to put a hot steak. That's blias in the plate. They're going to come out. It's going to be a problem of basa b'chala. So the guy says, no problem. I'll kasher it in between. The guy's up to a big lamdan. He wants to know, can he kasher it in between? And this shiloh comes up not only for people that have one set of dishes, but let's say, for example, this happens very often, your wife decides, or you decide that you have a certain spoon, a fork, a knife, it's been fleishiks for 5 years, you decide, you know what, you want it for milchiks. It's such a geshmak, a spoon, fork, knife, you want to switch it over, you want to switch its gender. Is it permissible to kasher it, to switch it from milchiks to fleishiks, or fleishiks to milchiks? That's the shiloh. So the truth is, the Pasha says, yes. Well, what's wrong? There's a Pasha called Kashering that's called Hagolas Kalim. So why shouldn't you be able to switch it from one gender to the next? So there's a Magen Avraham in number 6. The Magen Avraham writes in number 6 and says, Tuf Kuf Tes. Tuf Kuf Tes is Hilchas Yomtif. This is Orachayim, it's not Yaradeya. Right? This is an Orachayim, Hilchas Yomtif, writes the Magen Avraham. Whatever he's talking about, whether he's talking about kashering on Yom Tov, he writes, "Umikam mashma shemutu b'chol lahagel klei chelav lechol babasa ribch." He has a raya that it's mutter to kasher a kli from milchik to fleishik to fleishik to milchik. Va'oylam noagim isa bedaver. But zog to magen avram, the velt is machmir. The velt is machmir not to kasher a kli, not to kasher a dish from a different gender. Favos, why not? He says, "Umatzasi kasev b'shem agoyim rebin yomin mi poznoi." What's the pshat? If you're going to do this all the time, meaning if I have the ability to kasher my dishes, what am I going to do? I'm going to be cheap. I'm going to buy one set and just kasher them back and forth. And I'll kasher it all the time. Why? Says the Magen Avraham. Very simple. You're going to mess up at some point. Again, if you only have one set, you have one set of dishes, you have one plate. So you're going to use it on Sunday for milchiks, kasher it, use it on Tuesday for fleishiks. You know, it's very likely at some point you're going to forget what you're doing. And therefore, we're worried that you may come to forget and not kasher it, which seems to be a very plausible chash. Frekta Magen Avraham v'hod esharin and hachas, why is it mutter over here? Yeshloima kibin shlo ilam e mishtam shabba el aide libon leka lemigzer. This is very important, Magen Avraham. Says the Magen Avraham, because in this case, we're talking about a dish that you kasher it through libun. Let's just remind ourselves there's two forms of kashering. That's called hagola and libun. Hagola is through boiling hot water, and libun is through boiling hot fire. Those are the two modes of kashering. So the Magen Avraham seems to be saying that if you kasher something through hot water, which is usually going to be our dishes, our forks, our spoons, at least forks or spoons and things like that, that's usually going to be done through, or let's say, a pot that you cook with hot water, that's usually going to do hagala. Hagala, we don't kasher things from milchik to fleishik to fleishik to milchik. But if you want to do libun, something through hot, through heat, like a blowtorch, so that you could do one from the other. And Blineda tonight, if not tonight, we'll discuss this more next week, is this child is very relevant for the oven. Because how would you kasher an oven? You don't kasher an oven with boiling hot water. You kasher an oven with boiling hot heat, with fire. So it sounds like from the Magen Avraham that you're allowed to jump from one gender to the next gender as long as it's through libun and not through hagala. So imkayim, one can make an argument that when it comes to an oven, the way you kasher an oven is through libun. So maybe I can have one oven, and I can cook open milchiks in the oven, then kasher the oven and cook open fleishiks. There's a minhag that you're not supposed to switch from one gender. That's only if you're doing hagala. But here I'm doing libun. Maybe it's different. So that's what we need to discuss in Mitzvah Shem later tonight or Blin Adar next week. Now, this is a very interesting chumr from the Magen Avraham. Chumr from the Magen Avraham that we don't kasher kalim from one gender to the next. You don't. It's milchiks, it stays milchiks. So, you know, I told my Talmidim today, you get married, you got to stick, well, you got to pick whatever clue you have in your kitchen, you got to stick with it for the rest of your life. It's like which, you know, which bed you're going to pick in the, you know, you're going to sleep on the left side or the right side, that's yours forever. So which kalim, you got to decide now. And it does happen that people after a few weeks decide, you know, I really wish this was fleishiks and that was milchiks. Too late. Once you pick it, it becomes fleishiks. Again, obviously it has to actually be used for fleishiks. If you just picked it and you never used it, you can obviously switch back. But once it started to be used for milchiks, you can't switch it to fleishiks and vice versa. Now, Achareinim point out that there's rayas in Rishonim. Rishonim are mashma, not like this chumra of the Magen Avraham. And not only Rishonim is a clear Achareinim, there's a shach in two places. I quoted one of it over here, where the shach seems to say come out in the forest that it's okay to do that. He writes over here, the efshe demay bin shenishtamish isa bekulei kasim. Okay, he writes v'dad da'raj begufa ma'idid hecha da terabola kain shenishtamish b'cholav b'mitzasav ratzad achshir lebaser. He was talking about a case where you want a kasher from cholav to baser. And he quotes a Rajba. So again, there's many, many rayas in Rishonim and Achareinim. There's a Raif Matur that you are allowed to switch from Basa to Chol. But this is the Chumra of the Magen Avraham. As the Magen Avraham says, we don't kasher things from Basa to Chol. Okay? Comes along the Darkei Tshuva. Now let's just go back to number 7 for a second. So let's just see some other interesting reasons to why we wouldn't kasher from Basa to Chol. So we saw the simple reason of the Magen Avraham is because we're just afraid. We're afraid that you're going to forget to kasher it. But if you look over in the Sefer Hadar Shulchan, he quotes two other pshatim. He quotes over from the Harugas HaBaisim. I don't think this is the Harugas HaBaisim, Rabbi Grunwald, the Hungarian Gadol. I don't believe so, because at least I checked it up, it didn't match. But he quotes three other interesting pshatim. We'll quote two over here. He writes, Tam Echer, another reason. He ties another practical pshat. If you're going to be kashering every other day, in order to kasher something, the water has to get very hot. We're always going to be afraid that you're just not going to get the temperature to what it needs to be, and you're not really kashering properly. So therefore, you want to tell that the reason why we don't allow you to kasher back and forth is because we're afraid you're not going to get the temperature high enough for the heat. So he asks the kasher, so how are you ever allowed to kasher a kli? So he says, because then you have no choice. It's b'dieved. You traced up a kli. Now you have to kasher it, so you have to kasher it. But here, you're going l'chatchila out of your way to kasher a kli, which is not traced. Why would you do that? That's one pshat. Then he quotes another pshat from the Hafla, from the great Hafla. He says that we're afraid that maybe, again, maybe after you kasher it, maybe there'll still be a little bit left in the walls of the kli. Again, similar svara. Well, we're always afraid that the kashering won't work well. So then you have the same kasher. So how are you ever allowed a kasher? The answer is that's already a b'dieved. A guy trafed up this spoon, he's got to make it right, so we allow him. But here, you have a very good functioning spoon. But you want it to be fleishiks. No, okay, so that's your problem. So that we don't let you kash. Okay, whatever the reasons are, then we'll see there's really another reason we're afraid. We're afraid that, we'll talk about another reason, but these are some of the reasons why the minhag became that we don't kasha from milchiks to fleishiks. Now the Darkei Tshuva writes over here, number 9, he says, well, not everyone agrees to this Magen Avraham. First of all, he quotes a Prichadosh, where the Prichadosh says, Agav orche de ein svara la'asa kli amyuchel l'cholav la'asa shabasa. V'chein lepach. The Prichadosh says, I see absolutely no reason why you should not be allowed to kasher a kli from basa to cholav and vice versa. De ein lonu l'chadosh gzeirus midatenu. Who makes up new gzeirus? Who is the one Magen Avraham to make up a new gzeiru that we're afraid you won't kasher properly? What do you mean? You learn hilchas hagalas kelim. You know how to kasha the clean go weiter. Well, why can't I decide? One day it'll be milchiks, one day it'll be fleishiks. I'll switch it up every other day. What's the problem? So he disagrees with the Magen Avraham. He says, it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara you can't do that. But she's right. The Pashtus says it comes from the Magen Avraham. And we'll have to see how much validity the contemporary Acharim gave to this Magen Avraham. But Tanya de Prichadish, why can't you make a taser? Why can't you switch back and forth on Basa the Chalav? You'll kasha it properly. And then he writes over here, Anupshat, why you're not allowed. He says, V'ayim b'seif y'mei shloima, ala Rambam, perigzayim hilchaz machalas asuris b'seif y'shemen ha-mishcha, which has juv as chayim shol sholim, V'ayim prima godim, the shekosav de noigim lohokal ahagam b'basa the Chalav ha-idei shematrifin ha-klim b'koidim. He says, one way to get around is if you go out and trafe it. Let's say you have a spoon in your house. It's a fleishik spoon. But you desperately want to make it milchiks. Right? But you're not allowed to. So he says, you know what you should do? It's a prima godim. Trafe it. By mistake, take this fleishik, dunk it into hot milchiks. Now it's trafe! So now I have to kasher it to make it kosher. Now once I kasher it to make it kosher, then I can decide whatever gender I want it to be. As I zok the prima godim. So he writes over here that many achrim don't like this. V'ayim shal tshuva s'chem des moishe. Shemetmiya ala prima godim b'zeh. But b'ma shemate la hatruv l'chadchila b'mischav l'hach sh'akach. That you're allowed to do. That's better. Again, according to prima godim, instead of kashering it straight out, you trafe it up and then you kasher it. That sounds very funny. That we allow you to go out be a dime and trafe up the fork so you can kasher it later. Just kasher it straight up. But that is, we'll see, halacha l'maisa, Mishnah Berurah paskens like that. That if you have a certain utensil that you desperately want to switch over genders, but you can't because the Magen Avraham says you can't, so you trafe it. Once you trafe it, then you can kasher it, then you can make it whatever you want. So we see that this halacha is met with some form of pushback from some achrayim about this chumrah of the Magen Avraham.
It actually makes sense, Rabbi, because at the end of the day, you know, when something's going to be traced, then you put more of a conscious effort. It's, you know, when you got to do something with more of an effort than just a simple thing, you know, you're going to work at it, so it makes sense. Otherwise, you'll be more ahead.
No, 100%. The svara fits very gishmak, that if it's traif, so then, first of all, then you're going to do it right, and we know you're going to do it. But it's just a funny thing to say that we're not going to let you kasher something that right now is not isser. We'd rather you wait till it becomes isser, then we're going to let you kasher it. It seems a little funny. Okay.
You know what? It's like somebody who's got a slightly broken bone that sometimes the doctors break it totally to reset it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like the same kind of idea. Yeah. But we'll see in a second that Mishnah Berurah Taka Paskin is like that. So if you look at number 10, this is Mishnah Berurah and Hilchos Yom Tov, some tough kuf test. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kasim Magen Avraham. Mikam Ashmi Shabachol Mutal Hagel Klein Bechol Babasa Ibcha Va'ilam Noigim Issa Bedover. Ayin Shem Atam. So Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham. That's the first thing we have to know. That the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham that you're not supposed to kasha Kayla from one gender to the next. But he also calls the prima godim. So Mr. Brewer holds it a prima godim, that the minig is, he trafe it first. So if I have a pot, I have a spoon, I have a fork, I have a dish that's been fleishiks for 10 years, and I desperately want it to be milchiks, for whatever strange reason, I don't know why. Again, today a lot of this is not a gay because you just go out and buy a new one. But if you have a knife, a fork, a spoon, something you really like, and it's the other gender, so you trafe it, and then you can kasher it. But otherwise, the minig is not to kasher it. However, the Aruch HaShulchan says absolutely not. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in two places. He writes in number 11, even though those who write you're not supposed to kasha from one gender to the next, ein lochush b'zeh klal. Zog to Aruch HaShulchan, there's nothing to be concerned about. Vein lonu ligzer gzeres midatene. We don't make up new things. We don't make up new things. Mashallah gazu chazal. Chazal didn't answer. That was the argument of the pre-chadosh. When the Torah lays out the rules of how to kasher, of how to do agola, he says, if you want to kasher from one to the other, the rules are blah, A, B, C, and D. So you see, you're allowed to do it. So Zog to Aruch HaShulchan, he disagrees with this chumrah of the Magen Avraham. The Aruch HaShulchan repeats himself in number 12. Yesh misherot zaloy mashen lahagel kli shal basa lishal chaylav chalav ayipcha. B'tam shem lo yelay rak kliyecha v'yigalen b'basa chalav mechalav basa basa l'mitay. V'chum yeseri hi v'ein lanu ligza gzeres middatenu. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan seems to b'chalav not buy into this. Again, Mishnah Berurah does, Aruch HaShulchan doesn't. Where does that leave us today? So again, today we strictly follow the Mishnah Berurah. But again, it wouldn't surprise me if back in Europe, there were probably some many kehillas that taka followed the Aruch HaShulchan. And they taka kashid back and forth between the basra and the chalav. What about Svardim? So the Kavachan writes over number 13, he quotes the whole shebang, and he quotes from the Sefer Shara Melech, who writes, the Osa Lahaga Klei Basar Ben Yoyma. The thing over here is, the reason why it's an issue over here is because we're afraid. If I say, "Asa lahaga kli basa ben yoyma lishtamish b'cholav," vim came tama minig dechmir b'yov lahaga kli kishu ben yoyma. He says we're afraid over here that you're going to kasher it too early, because it's really supposed to be an ena ben yoyma, and we're afraid you're going to kasher it when it's a ben yoyma. That's the chashash. That's our fear. Our fear is you're going to kasher it when it's not really the right time to kasher it. So he writes over a heavy devrei mamachzik bracha ubim kaimetsenu noigim lahaga kli cholav she'ena ben yoyma lishtamish ben basa v'chein ebcha. He says that's not the practice. At least in the chida, the chida would kasher ben yoymas from one to the other. I believe I asked the Sfaradish, a friend of mine, and he told me that the Sfaradim are machmir like this Magen Avraham, even though the Kav HaChaim seems to sound like not like that. Again, Rabbi Forst in one of his books also makes it sound like that the Sfaradim are not machmir for this Magen Avraham. But again, hard to know. But here the Kav HaChaim writes that Sfaradim do not keep this chumrah of the Magen Avraham, and they would be allowed to kasher. And they would be allowed to kasher an Eina Ben Yoyma from one to the other. We mentioned before, number 14, the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim writes, the B'Shas HaTchak Mutal HaHachshe Klechol of Lebasar Yibcha. If you have a Shas HaTchak, you would be allowed a kasher. Now, I don't know what constitutes a Shas HaTchak. I don't think a Shas HaTchak means that because your wife really likes the fleshig knife and she wants to make it milchiks. I don't think that would constitute a Shas HaTchak. I don't know what would be a Shas HaTchak. Again, maybe if you're dealing with a situation where you're dealing with a large kitchen and you're a catering company and it's your parnasa and this is the only type of thing you can get. Again, you might be able to come up with creative situations of what constitutes a Shas HaTchak, but there is this Prima Gadim, which is quoted by the Debrei Tzina Rav and others, that the Prima Gadim held that B'Shas HaTchak, you would be allowed to kasher from one to the other. Now, the Mishnah Brura, number 15, this is back in Hilchos Pesach, Mishnah Brura writes, because of the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer Simen Kuf Yud, he quotes from another Kula from the Chassam Sofer. So the first Kula, Mishnah Brura told us, was from the Prima Gadim, that you're allowed to trafe up the Kli in order to kasher it to the right gender that you want it. Then the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, Deheicha Dehegalu Tzarech Pesach. Let's say I have a fleshig spoon that I want to make milchiks. So he tells you know what you should do? You should kasher it for Pesach. Then once you kasher it for Pesach, then you're allowed to switch it for Basa B'chalav also. Meaning, if my main focus is to kasher something from Chametz to Pesach, then I can also switch the gender of Basar and Chalav as well. So, Paskas Mishnah Brura based on a Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. The Marsham, the great Reb Shalom Shadron, the grandfather of the famous Magid from Yerushalayim, Reb Shalom Shadron, he was the first Reb Shalom Shadron, the Marsham, one of the great Gedolei HaPoskim of the 20th century. He died in the early 1900s, so we'll call him the 20th century, but obviously the bulk of his years was in the 19th century. But he writes like this. He discusses, and he's really the basis for some of the heterim to when you could kasher from fleshiks to milchiks and vice versa. He has a tshuva in Tshuvas Marsham, where he writes like this. Mechtova yigiadni, she'ilosoi, b'klei she'enoi shel basa v'loi shel cholav. He talks about a shail again. What was the wording of the Magen Avraham? I have fleshiks that I want to turn to milchiks. I have milchiks that I want to turn to fleshiks. What happens if I have pariv that I want to turn into either one? That was the shayla presented to the Marsham. The guy was talking about a case where he has a klisha einish shel baser v'loy shel cholov hanikra pariva. It's not milchiks. It's not fleshiks. It's pariv. V'zov tacht of cholov. And now what happened was that it became milchiks. This is a very practical shayla. Let's say I have a parva of a thing in the house, and someone made it milchiks by mistake. I want to kasher it to make it back to being parav. Can I do that? Or that would also be a violation of the Magen Avraham. That was the shayla presented to the Marsham. Again, we keep on talking about kashering from milchiks to fleshiks to fleshiks to milchiks. Here the kli is neither. It's parav. But it became milchiks, and now I want to kasher it out to make it back to being parav. Can I do that? Says the Marsham. So he thinks, so he says like this. He quotes the Prima Gadim that says, first of all, the Prima Gadim said, you're allowed to trafe it up first. So, and then he quotes that you're allowed to do L'tzarech Pesach D'kei Akeira. Then he quotes another heter. Let's say I'm selling the Kli. Let's say I have a fleshik pot that I'm selling to you, and you want it milchiks. So I'm allowed to kasher it before I sell it. V'gam beguf taimer shel amagen Avraham b'shem Ma'ariz d'dilma asi lemute yesh l'ayin ta'yuchal asis roishim. Okay, he doesn't like the whole svara. Then he says the other reason of why you're not allowed to kasher is because we're afraid maybe it won't really be an eni ben yoyma, it will be a ben yoyma. He doesn't like that reason either. So therefore he says, ulafi tam ze bevade yesh l'hokal b'nidi didon, shaygam ki sheyigal be ye nat parnat. Okay, it would only be nat parnat, like a chshosha, fine. He wants the tanya that pariv was not included in the yisr. So he holds it's only basa the chol the basa, but from pariv back from a pariv milchik to back to pariv that wasn't part of the gzeir and that's mutter. And then he writes at the end ubi yosi bekahal bechach. When I was in bechach, bold yodik sove hagoyin av bezin. I got a letter from I was able to read from the av bezin. The av bezin of bechach is today known as the eshel avram bi bechach. Fascinating individual who actually died in the year 1860. 1860 or 1840. He was a fellow that we call him a lot the Eshel Avram Bechach, not to be confused with the Eshel Avram, who's the Prima God. The Eshel Avram Bechach was originally a very Litvish Yid, but his son was very sick. And they told him he should go to Reb Levi Yitzchak Mibaditchev. And Itaka went to Reb Levi Yitzchak, and his son had refu, and he became a big Hasidic. But his psakim were always litvish, not chassidish psak, but he became a big mekubal. And he died in the year 56. He died in the year 5600 because he thought Mashiach was going to come that year. Mashiach didn't come. Okay, a whole story. So the Bechacha writes over there, the lahaga mi basal lishimish ena le basal lechol of mutter. The Bechacha writes mefurish that kashering parav is mutter. Again, the Marsham came years after the Bechacha, so he thinks it's mutter. The aim was at minig l'aser, and therefore there is no problem. So we had a bunch of kulos, if anyone noticed. First kula was, he says that if you're selling it, you can switch it. And he said, if it's parav, you can switch it. And then he writes at the end, another kula. The im acher zman yirtze liyachta l'tash b'shcholov. Says here, listen to this. The im acher zman yirtze liyachta l'tash b'shcholov gam kemot. The gam b'basa l'cholov. Im ovru yud beis chodesh. Let's say I have a pot, that's fleishiks, but I haven't used it for fleishiks for 12 months. So we know the famous Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi says that after 12 months, the tam is pogum, everything is fine. We don't pass like the Chacham Tzvi, but as Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, we use the Chacham Tzvi as a sniff lahokam. So here, the Marsham says, let's say I have a fleishik pot that I want to kasher, and I haven't used it for 12 months, and then I could switch it to chalav. That you're also permitted to do. So that's another heter that brings down from the Marsham. So again, we have from the Marsham, pariv is okay. We have from the Marsham that selling is okay. And we have from the Marsham that after 12 months it's okay. Those are a bunch of kulas that we have from the Marsham. Now if you look over in the Debrezina Rav, is another shayla. Nisha'alti harbi poma, I was asked many times, Misha mekabel matona kelim yikarim. Let's say you get a gift of fancy silver dishes, shekvash tam shubahem, but they're already used. Let's say you get dishes from an alta baba somewhere, and she gives you all her finest Shabbos dishes, but you don't want them for Shabbos. You want them for weekday. You want them for cholov. Can you kasher them? Can a recipient of a gift kasher them out of their gender? So paskin the debesin rav hashavti poshut lahat ve'im bezer shom pitbok. No problem.
Paskin should be no different than a sale.
Oh, that's one argument that he makes, that maybe it's just like selling it off. It's a one-time thing, and it should be okay. So he taka paskin.
Why? Why if you sell it or if you give it to somebody as a matan, is it okay?
Oh, okay.
I mean, are you kashering it? Are you relying on their kashering?
No, Avadi. You're kashering it. Again, I'm about to sell it. Right? I have a pot. I have a flea market where I'm selling dishes. But the guy says, you know what? I really would rather them to be milchiks. So I say, no problem. I'll kasher them right now, and tomorrow they'll be milchiks. So that the Marsham said is mutter. That he says mutter. Now, what was his svar? If you look inside, what did he say? He said that that's mutter because he says, Hare de behekker called the huikilu. Where'd it go? He says, because as long as there's a hecker, it's different. It's not like your typical case of switching back and forth. This is a one-time thing. I'm switching it and I'm getting rid of it. So that's fine, he said. So here it should be the same thing. And that's the way the Be'er Moshe paskens. Now if you look in the Sefer Sheva Tekohot,
Could you explain that again? I didn't understand. But who's doing the kashering? The seller or the buyer?
It sounds like the seller is going to kasher it and then give it to me.
Yeah, but how can I rely on him, his conjuring? Is it just like Eidach and Mambisurim?
Yeah, again, the issue over here wasn't, the issue over here wasn't in a month. The issue over here, this is a violation of the minhag of the Magen Avraham, that we don't swap out genders of Kalim. So to that, you'll have to watch, maybe you'll watch him do it, or whatever. But the point is, maybe even you could do it. Again, the point is, once it's being a sold item, it's not like a household item, then it's not a violation of the Magen Avraham if you kasher it and swap out the min. The Sheva that Kohasi has another kula, which is really based on the Marsham that we saw. Let's say you have a clean in your house. You don't remember. You don't know if it's milchik afleishiks. Can I then kasher that to make it the gender that I want? This could happen. I find a pot somewhere in my house. I push it. I have no recollection of what it is. I don't know if it's milchik. I don't know. I guess for the same price, let's say someone gives you a gift, and the noisin had matana doesn't remember what gender it was. So you just want to kasher it to know what to do with it. Would that be a violation of the Magen Avraham? So he goes through the whole sugya, and he writes, Vihine. We normally hold this asa to swap it out. Because of the noigim lahakal lahagami bas lachal ideisha matrifin. First, you're allowed to treif it. Imkain avagav the nogu de magilim bas lachal hanu heichad the bavadim nishtamish b'cholof. That's only if it's a vaday. Vatzal shtamish bas or yibcha. Avah heichad the mesupik mahashtamish. But over here, it's only a suffik. The efshin shtamish ba'achshon mahashtamish b'mikayim. Over here, it's a 50-50 chance. It could be that I'm not really doing the opposite gender because I don't know what the gender is. So then he says, "In lachadish gzeris miatzmeinu." Then it's not you're making up new things. And then he says that would be mut. Then he has another cheshbon why it's mut. Void. Dolei shayech tam shekasva magen avram. Dolei yer loy rak liach viglena b'chol pam. Dolei yesh lisiba derak achshav magiloi sheni yudeya mahish tamish b'koidim. He wants to make the argument that what's the issue? Why did the magen avram ask for swapping back and forth? We don't want you doing this every single day. But I'm not doing this every single day. I'm doing this once because I want to finally pick the gender. I think people even tumble about, let's say a guy decides I want to switch it once. I don't want to switch it back and forth 50. I want to do it once. So Pashto says that would be already a loy plug. But over here he's saying that the whole case is different. I don't want to switch it. I want to figure what gender it is. So therefore he thinks that would be mutter, and he passes halacha l'maisa that would be permissible. There's a truth in the Divrei Malkiel. Malkiel was a great Hungarian Rav. Rabbi, his last name was Tenenbaum. So he talks about a shayla, what happens... Number 19, he says, what happens, the shayla was the following. Shem yirash kli baser. Let's say you inherit from an alta zeda, again, not a gift. Inherit. You inherit from the alta zeda a whole set of plates. But, they're fleishiks, and you don't want them, you want milchiks. Shem yirash kli baser lo yagilam lishtamish cholif. He thinks you cannot kasher them out. Why? What about the case of the shlah about selling it? Right, we said if you sell it, it's okay. So why is selling different than Yerusha? It says in the kitzer hashlah she'imachar einos and kli basar. If you sell or gift fleishik apatz mutar hakoyin elagiloi, the buyer is allowed to kasher them out to use them v'cholov. So what's the difference between an inheritance and a gift? So he writes. He says, I wrote this on the side of my sefer, and I wrote, Vadain yesh l'chalak. I think there's a difference. Why? He says, the reason why it's okay is because you're not used to this kli. It's a new kli. It's not a new kli. You're kashering a new kli. It's not something that I'm used to. You're used to these kelim. This is like your regular kli. A guy got a gift for the first time, this is like a new kli. But for you to get your father, your grandfather's old kelim, this is like it's yours. You recognize them, and therefore we'll skip a bunch of rais he brings, and therefore he wants the taina, He wants taina that a gift or a purchase is different than a yerusha from a parent. A yerusha from a parent is like it was always yours. That's like kelim that were always yours that you want to kasher out. But over here, but a present or a gift or a purchase, that's different. Okay, I'm not sure. I guess you could debate the lumbus.
It wouldn't be machalic that's only if you get it from a parent, but let's say if you get it from a grandparent.
So he writes at the last two lines of the Tshuva, Michael, he writes, V'gam ki yesh yerusha mikrovim she'ena rogel etzlam. What happens if it's from an aunt? So that he tells you, He wants to tell you that the point over here is he wants to learn the Pshat and the Kitzur Ashla. That's matter of purchase because it's a new kli to you. It wasn't around before. But over here, if it was it was by your father, by your grandfather, you used to use them, you used to be mishtamish with them. What about the aunt that I never had a shaykhus to? That's a loy plug. Okay. Take it or leave it, I'm not sure. I don't know what the common practice is. Let's say you're, you know, halakha ma'isa, this is very negate. Let's say you have a grandfather or a father leaves the Yerusha wonderful, beautiful dishes, which you just want to swap out. So according to the Divrei Malkiel, you couldn't, but perhaps one can make the argument that you would be allowed to. Now what happens if I want to swap the gender of a cold, kelim that were only used for cold? We keep on talking about kashering. Right? I have a fork, a knife that I use for hot milchiks, and now I want to kashrut to use it for hot fleshiks. That requires hagolah. What happens if it's something that you only use for cold, but you happen to have separate? So he writes over the sefer Hadorah Shochan, kelim shemishtam shemem rak mitzayin, kelim that you only use for cold. The kavaylam shtashrish lebasa oile chalavim tzayinim, you only use for either cold meat or cold dairy. Ain shaykh b'ma minag. Then there's no minag. Then you could swap them. But you should just wash them out well. Let's say, for example, you have dishes that you use for all cold milchiks and all cold fleshiks. So then you can switch them back and forth. Again, you could switch one back and forth as long as you're washed out well and thoroughly. Okay, this takes us to a very interesting shayla, Rabbi Yisai. We touched upon this Pesach time. I think 2 years ago, not last year, not Corona time, but the year before Corona, we talked about what is the status of glass. And this becomes very interesting. Because again, we mentioned that you're supposed to have separate dishes for milchiks and fleshiks, and you're not even supposed to kasher one to the other. Do you have to have separate glasses? Let's say, for example, I have glass, and I want to have a hot cup of milk or a cup of coffee with milk in it in a glass cup. And then tomorrow, I want to use that exact same glass cup to have hot soup in it. Fleshika soup. Does that present a problem? So that we all know there's a very, very big, famous machloikis mishainim. To what is the status of glass? So there's really three basic opinions with glass. One opinion is that glass is not boileya. Glass never absorbs heat. Which means, I can put hot milchiks in a glass, wash it out, put hot fleshiks in the glass, and I've done nothing wrong. Why? Because the idea of belias is that they become absorbed, hot liquid gets absorbed into the walls. And then when I put another hot liquid or hot substance, those absorptions come out and they mix and they present the problem of bas b'chal. But since glass doesn't absorb, so nothing goes in and nothing goes out. You got no problems. That's one shitas rishonim, which is the opinion of quite a few rishonim. There's another opinion in the rishonim that no, that glass is boileya and glass is poilet. It goes in and it goes out, but you can kasher it. Glass could be kashered. So all you have to do is kasher it. And the third opinion is that glass is boileya, but it can't be kashered. Those are the three main opinions in the Rishonim of how to deal with glass. It comes up for Basa B'chalov, and it comes up for Pesach. So the Mechaber Pasuk is the number 21. Klei Zechuchas, glass utensils. Afilu machnisan lekiyum, even if you want to use them. V'afilu rishtamish ben bechamin, you use them for hot chametz. You don't need to kash them before Pesach. She'enam boilim, they do not absorb. Ushtifas ba'al masagi luhu. All you need to do is wash it out. So let's say, for example, if I have a glass cup that I use for hot chametz, I can use it for hot Pesach, no problem. Because glass does not absorb. Someone told me a maisa the other day with Rabbi Salvechik, and Rabbi Salvechik was eating some form of, I guess, an ice cream with a glass cup. And his Rebbetzin yelled at him and said, "You're chafing up my kitchen." So he said to her, "What are you talking about? First of all, the ice cream is cold. And secondly, it's glass. Glass is not boileya." So his wife said, "Your Yeridea is going to chafe up my kitchen." That was the Rebbetzin's response to Rabbi Soloveitchik. But he's making the argument that the Shulchan Aruch says. That there is, I have this argument with my wife all the time. Whenever if I ever go anywhere near the ice cream and dishes, she gets very nervous. "What are you worried about? It's cold. Cold can't chafe. What are you worried about?" But in any case, so when it comes to glass, the Mechaber Pasuk is glass, no problem. Which means, for Svardim, if you have a glass cup, you filled it up with hot milk, and then you had hot cocoa, you rinse it out, you put hot soup in, no problem. Which means, in theory, there's no reason why Svardim should have to have separate glasses for milchiks and fleshiks. What's the problem? What do you need separate glasses for? Just rinse them out. comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, V'yesh machmirim. They're those that are machmir. V'oimrim, t'klis chuches afilu agolim hanilu. We go the opposite extreme. Not only does glass absorb, it absorbs and it can't get kashered. It can't get it out. It's not pilot. V'chein haminag ba'ashkenazim v'dinas elu. Says the Ramah, that's the practice in our communities. So, it would sound like, according to the Ramah, that glass is boileya, it can't come out, so you can't even kasha glass. So you definitely have to have separate glasses. Again, the Ramah over here is talking about Hilchos Pesach. So that's why we all have separate dishes for, separate glasses, again, glass. Separate glasses for Pesach and Chametz, because the Ramah says that Chametz, that for Pesach, we're machmir that it's not kasherable. However, not everyone agrees. The first shaila is, when the Ramah write this, did the Ramah mean only a chumra de pischa? Is this also for basa b'chalav? Is this also for machalas sasuris? Or is this only a chumra by Pesach? Because that's where the Ramah writes it. Meaning, so enachanami. When it comes to Pesach, I'm not going to kasher my glass because I'm machmir on Pesach. We're machmir for a million things on Pesach. But what happens for basa b'chalav? What about for machalas sasuris? Am I also machmir? It's not clear. So the Rachashocha writes in number 22. He says, the kleis chuches eina nesar naidei b'lias yayin, glass will not be a problem for absorptions of yayin. The fish in chalokim, they're smooth, they eina boilim, and they don't get absorbed. V'chein amine gaposha liknais kol mine kleis chuches yishanim and akusim, says the Archachoch, and the practice is we buy all forms of glass from a guy, u'mishafshifin heitiv, we wash it, u'medichinais v'mayim u'matvilam, then we go toil it. What about kashering it? You don't need a kasher, says the Aruch HaShulchan. Glass is not by Leia. I, the Ramah, so you have to say the Ramah is only talking about chametz. Chametz and Pesach, but a regular glass, no problem. Someone tied it to me today that, how do they do all the testings in the laboratories? What is the kli they use? They use a glass kli. So you want to tie it, then you'd have to always cheshbon blius, the things get absorbed into the walls, and things get affected. Teretz's glass does not by Leia. That's the biggest riot. Look at any lab. In a lab, everything is done in a glass bottle. Okay. Again, scientifically, we can debate this, not for now, but that's the Aruch HaShulcha. So the Aruch HaShulcha seems to be very lenient, as long as it's at least not Basa B'chalav, with regard to glass. The Yakut Yosef writes over in number 23, Motel Lebnei Eidos HaMizrach V'Hasvardim Leishtamish B'Kliz Chuches HaMadichim Heitiv. You're allowed to use a glass cup that was washed well. Bein L'machol Echol L'Bein L'machol Basar. Again, you can have the exact same dish, glass. Use it once for milchiks, hot milchiks. Then turn around and use it for hot fleishiks, as long as it's washed well. V'afim ishtamshu b'koyis ischuchas b'chol v'reisech, it's boiling hot. Motu ishtamshu b'koyizel ishtia b'arucha b'sris, v'acha shtifa v'adocha. The klei ischuchas einam boilim klal, because glass does not absorb anything. Okay, that's more. Now shulchan aruch. Sheklei ischuchas einam boilim klal. All you gotta do is wash it out. But he writes, you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful to wash it out. If there's remnants on the bottom of the cup of coffee, of milk, then you're gonna put your soup in it. You're gonna have basa b'chalav. That's be'en. Again, we always talk about two issues. There's be'en, mamoshes, and then there's blias. Blias, there's no blias in glass because there are shulchan aruch paskas like many shittas rishonim. That glass is not boileya. But there's still mamoshes. If you have actual milk on the bottom, that's gonna be a problem. So Rebbe Vad Yosef's son writes that svardim, all they gotta do is wash it out well and they're good to go. What about Ashkenazim? Listen to this. V'gam Ashkenazim writes, ma'akub zayesh ma'ashe yismachu. He says, even if an Ashkenazi wants to be mekel, he could be samech. Ki yeshoim b'nim sh'afa ramol lehichme b'chliz chulchaz al b'pesach. Maybe the ramol only meant it by Pesach. Shem chomet de Pesach. Shem chomet de chomets. Ma'ashekel gavi basa b'cholov, is more could be mekel. U'mikom lokom Ashkenazim noigim lahachme, but the Ashkenazim are mekel. Then he concludes, the gam svardi aroitze lahachme liyachet chliz chulchaz lebasa chliz chulchaz lecholov, tovay olav bracha. And if a svardi wants to have separate dishes for glass, separate glasses, it's I asked a Sfaradish, a student of mine, he told me they do have separate glasses. They do? Okay. Again, today it's not a big deal for us to have many sets of dishes, but again, if you're short on dishes, so you can definitely see why you'd have one set of dishes. I remember hearing once in the Shifa from Rav Shechter, Rav Shechter said that the Ra'ah used to have one set of dishes, and he used to cash them back and forth. Now again, the Ra'ah lived way before the Magen Avraham, so he didn't have the Magen Avraham's Chumrah, but it's not always so practical. It's a huge headache. If you're going to switch back and forth, it's a huge achrayis to make sure you're always kashering it. But for svardim and glass, there's much, much room to be makel. Now listen to this. We keep on talking about svardim. What about Ashkenazim? So Rav Moshe Shtemberg has a tshuva number 24 where he writes, Amda, Haramo hevi din zesh eschuchis klicheris rak bechomitz bepesach. Again, the only time the Ramah was machmer on glass was only by Pesach. But the Knesset Agdeila writes, but when even the Ramah was only machmer on Pesach, but when other Isurim, let's say Yai Nesach, let's say Basa B'cholov, let's say other Macholos Isuris, were Mekel. Because again, Minchas Yankiv, Huva Prima Godim, Acha Prima Godim, Shem Mekel, Rak Pesach Meruba, the Nirei Sha'onu Machmir, Bezalin Yechomet, Pesach, Avshali Baleo Poilet, the Shem Yesh Kamashu, because again, on Pesach, we're even worried about Mamoshes. Avo B'shar Yisurim, Afilu Yesh Mashu Bottle, even be Bottle, even more than that. Well, the Kain Loi Chashin and Klab, Klees Chus B'shar Yisurim, Rak, Shaitiv, Hate, Vidai, Bekach. Just clean it. And then he says something historically interesting. V'shamati Shebelita, he says, I heard in Litta, Nogul Hakabuze. In Litta, they were Taka Mekel to use only one set of glasses. And they would hold that, we can be saying, Mechan de Ramah, that it's not Bailei. Ay, the Ramah, Nachos Pesach, that's a Nachos Pesach. But he says, "Umedina yesh lo mamal aspech." This is what to be saying, Mechan. Avol roi ha'ayoyim lesade koyses muchedes lesudas basa ulechalov. But today, the practice is that we have separate glasses for milchiks and flesh for separate glasses for basa and chalov as well, because you know why not? But strictly speaking, there's definitely makom to be mekel if a person has a glass cup that he wants to use for both hot milchiks and hot fleshiks. There's definitely room to be mekel to use such a kli. But Menashe Klein in his sefer writes, "Shamati migodol echad b'dayrenu. I heard from a godol in our generation. Sheishtei harabonis, his wife, rotzasa lahachem velikach koyser shaschuchas labas levad v'chol levad, that she wanted to use separate dishes. Umichaba, he made a machova. Omar kachra isi beis imi hatzad konius shahisim mekabels migoyni v'tzdike ador koydim v'chem isi etzashar tzdike ador ha'avar ve'ini roitz l'shanas mimashu isi beis imi v'ati deshtar simecho." Okay, he wants to tell you that there's many great gedolim. He doesn't say who the gadol is. The Taka had one set of dishes for glass. He used it for both. He says, if you're afraid to get mixed. And then he concludes that lamaisa, he thinks it's mutter. He thinks that the kaisar was mekel. Okay, you got to ask older Yidden, previous generation European Yidden, ask them if they remember in Europe. Yeah, because remember, in Europe, they didn't have throwaway cups like we have today. They didn't have, you know, the coffee cups that you buy in 7-Eleven. They used glass. You got to ask them if they remember. If they would use, again, you have to remember, we don't do this today, but I happen to sometimes do it, drink soup out of a cup. It's very geschmack to sometimes soup, to sip soup from a cup. So then you have a shayla, you have a meat soup that you want to put into a glass cup. And that glass cup that morning you had with your hot coffee. So it seems like in Europe there were plenty of Choshev Yidden that used to do that. Maybe even today there are Yidden who do that. I don't know. But it seems...
I'll tell you something. My grandfather told me after the war they had one set of dishes and so they made sure it was glass.
Oh, there you go. Gewaldig. Look at that. Geschmack. Very, very fascinating. There you go. That's based on this. That's based on this so yeah, because we're that even though the Ramon Hilchos Pesach writes that glass is balua, it's only for Pesach, it's not for Basa B'chalav. So that's very important. That's very, very fascinating. Gewaldic, okay. I love to hear things from this is the way I gain the most information from everyone else. When I hear from other people, I get to learn, I get to hear. Fascinating. That's very geschmack. That fits that very nice. Okay. So the Asim Chaim Kanevsky number 26, the Asim Chaim Kanevsky is a Shiloh. In Motor Lishtamesh Boisakli's Chuchas Azudas Bas Vagam Azudas Cholov, can you use the same glass? Or it's Shiloh Shneim from you have to have separate? And then they tied it. Uke Medoimish Medoirish Avru, are you Nagoim Lahakabuze? Previous generation, they were Mekel Lishtamesh Bekli's Chuchas Echel Shneim. They used to use glass for both meals. Ma Daitim Zavos Haltim Chaim Kanevsky. So what is the answer? Nochoim Lihizoyer. Okay. It's proper to be machmer. Okay, that's probably true. You should try to have separate glasses. But again, b'shas atchak, or obviously like Yidden after the war, where things were difficult. Again, today, Baruch Hashem, we have a plenty of options besides for, we have throwaway, we have disposable, and we have this, we have a lot of things. But if push comes to shove, it wouldn't be the end of the world if a person wanted to use a glass utensil for both basar and chav. Okay, now this is really going to be our akdama for next week's shir. Based on what we learned tonight, what did we come out with? We came out with, there's a chumr from the Magen Avraham, is that we don't want to swap kalim from one gender to the next. We don't cash them unless they're special situations. So the shayla now is, this really leads us up to what I want to get into more next week. I want to talk about the oven. Most Jewish homes, especially the young couples that are starting out, they didn't make it to their dream house yet. Most young couples or most people in regular homes have one oven. My whole life I grew up with one oven. When I still have one oven. I haven't not yet made it to the major leagues of having two ovens. Maybe Bekarev, I should be zeichet to it, but right now I only have one oven. Now, how do you manage with one oven? There's a slew of halachic issues with one oven. Befrat, if you want to cook things opened. Again, Belineder, we will tackle all the issues that come up with the oven, but this is just gives us a little bit of a hakdama to start talking about ovens. Now, the easiest way to solve the problem of the ovens is just to cover it with a foil. You solve 99% of the problems. But here's the shayla is the following. Let's say you have a self-cleaning oven. To make it more complicated, you have a self-cleaning oven. That much I made it to the big leagues of Baruch Hashem, I have a self-cleaning oven. Okay. Let's say you want to make a milchiga dish open. Because some dishes, I understand this from my wife, some milchiga dishes are much better when they are open. They cook better, the cheese, this, that, and the other, whatever it is. But you don't want to make your oven fleishiks. You don't want to make your oven a milchiga oven, you want a fleishik oven. Right? When a person only has one oven, he's got to pick which gender he wants the oven to be. So if you're a frum yid, you want your oven to be fleishiks. That's the bulk of your cooking. Or at least you're cooking in the oven. So let's say a guy says to himself, I have a gevaldik gechap. I'll have my fleishik oven. I'll kasher it. I'll run the self-clean. I'll kasher it, and then it'll be out. I'll make it milchiks, and then I'll kasher it back. So the 3 times a year my wife wants to make shavuos, a geshmak, a milchiga dish, I'll self-clean the oven, kasher it, and then make the milchiks and re-kasher it back to fleishiks. Gevaldik gechap. Is this permissible or not? Meaning, is kashering an oven in between usage included in the din of the Magen Avraham that we don't kasher? So right off the bat, you should be thinking that how did you kasher an oven? You kasher an oven through libun. We mentioned that according to the Magen Avraham, this is only if you're kashering through Hagalah. So the initial thought process would be is that since I'm kashering through libun, that's why you kasher an oven, and a self-cleaning oven might even be libun gamur. So the initial thought process should be that it should be okay to do this. This should not be included in the Magen Avraham. Or the flip side, you should say, no, this is also included in the Magen Avraham, because you're going to botch this up also. Let's say you'll forget to kasher it. So Belineder, the next week we'll discuss, is kashering an oven back and forth included in the Magen Avraham, and then we'll discuss other issues that pertain to having only one oven. Okay, Abayi Sayyid Mitzvah Shem, we'll discuss that next Tuesday. Mitzvah Shem, Sunday, we'll be discussing our regular Gemara Shir. Have a wonderful week, have a wonderful Shabbos.